And whether that's in environmental criteria that we establish for the decision or through the NEPA CEQA TRPA process, we'll get there, I'm very confident. I also want to point out, we have made tremendous a tremendous change already at the site. And we've done that in total partnership with our Washoe tribe. And I have to just say, I so appreciate your leadership, because it's not been easy. They've been on the front lines from all the public who have had their experiences changed as a result of this. But when we saw water quality issues and we saw notices of violation, again, rather than haggling over communications and whether or not they really did or didn't lead us to that same conclusion, we jumped in. We actually rendered the facility unusable to ensure the water quality wasn't compromised. We immediately placed large berms and then went way above and beyond. And so I hope that you see that in doing those kinds of things, we have already protected the lake. And I know there's terminology around temporary BMPs, but I think you'll see that our standard is twice that of what's normally expected. And that's our standard. So when we went out and we implemented that, we did so not just in good faith, but we did so knowing full well that that was what was required to protect the site. So, you know, we can go, I'll be happy to answer all the questions because I think you raised some valid points. I can't guarantee, the truth is I can't guarantee that the Lahontan Water Board's gonna assign sufficient staff to the CEQA component to keep me on track for this stipulated agreement, nor can I agree or nor can I guarantee that the TRPA. But I will say that there's a spirit of cooperation that's happening here in the Lake Tahoe Basin that's beyond that of many, many years. And so, you know, I have to trust the other executives at face value, and they look me in the face and say, you know, this is important ecologically, environmentally, socially. This is important, and we're going to rally around this. But you raise a good point. I mean, I'm nervous about those timelines, no different. But to avoid taking the agreement on in the way that we have built it is to avoid the big and real long-term solution. Because we could have gotten into paving parking lots and moving water around at the site, and it would have been a small fix to what a much larger, more world-class solution could be. I think about Lake Tahoe and where we've been moving over the last many years, and the commitment of all the agencies, all 58 of them that are operating here at the within the lake in one way or another, and everybody's working on those global solutions, and that's because we've built trust across the agencies, and we've looked past terminology, and we've chosen not to get wrapped around the axle on statutory authorities. So, to be honest, I'm proud of where we've gotten to. This was a moment in time, and we've taken advantage of it to put a real long-term solution on the table. And for me personally, it's an opportunity that never presented previously with my predecessors. I know they would have taken on the challenge equally, but in this context, we're gonna have to all go with something a little bit uncomfortable to chase a big idea. And I understand that we don't have a track record that's proven up all the time. But I can just say that I think I'm in good stead saying the other executives that are operating here at the Lake Tahoe Basin are equally committed to these long-term solutions. And we've handled a lot of them collectively. And this is another big one on the horizon. So. I don't dare speak to the impact that the Washoe tribe has accepted for this, but I also don't expect to be able to speak to your commitment to the environment as well, which I know have been hallmarks of our conversations moving forward. So it's been dicey to get to this point, figuring out how we can stitch this together, but the truth is we could have spent equal amount of time and money arguing over authorities. And I have a huge stable of attorneys in USDA that are prepared to have that conversation, and we chose not to. So I'd like to just, you know, offer to the board that I know you've heard other executives say we're committed. I'm equally uncomfortable with how all of this has to work, but I also know the idea is a good big one, and it'll lead us to something that we will be proud of in another 8 or 10 years when it's all finally constructed and implemented according to the plans. And that's regardless of the outcome, whether it's with the marina or without. So happy to answer other questions. I really do appreciate the deliberation. I know it's hard. We're just showing up a little differently than you normally do, and I can respect that.
Are there any questions, Ms. Cox?
No questions, thank you.
Mr. Diaz?
No, thank you.
Mr. Sandell?
No, I just have one comment, but I think I'll wait to hear what Amy has to say.
Mr. Jardine?
No comment, but I'm looking forward to hearing from the Washoe Tribe.
Dr. Horn?
So I'll just start by saying the Washoe Tribe is the one element in this whole agreement that I have absolute confidence in. So they've been here for generations, and they will continue to be here for generations. I wonder if you can talk more about the concerns I raised about the NEPA process and the extent to which, I mean, you know, we have certain amount of agreement within the basin between TRPA, the Water Board, and the Forest Service, but I just remember the day, was it 12 years ago, we all stood on the state park and the Upper Truckee and looked at nice drawings of how that whole area was going to get restored. Mm-hmm. And everyone had the best of intentions. That only involved CEQA. That didn't even get to NEPA. And, you know, that project couldn't get pulled off. So it has that same sort of feeling. It's like, oh, we're going to do something great. But these processes can go ways you don't anticipate. Mm-hmm. And so can you speak to that, the degree to which, I mean, you are the sixth forest supervisor I've known in my 14 years on the board. Mm-hmm. How long are you going to be here? What's the new forest supervisor? Are they going to continue this direction? What are the outside forces that might come from Washington or the regional office or the public or whatever that, I mean, how much control do you really have over this process?
Well, so NEPA, as long as we are following the law, and it gets a little complicated when you try to take three environmental planning processes from three separate agencies and overlap them. So I'm going to point that out, that that can get tremendously complicated. But as long as we're following the law, it's fairly predictable that you can get through there and make it defensible. NEPA is about evaluating the range of alternatives, engaging the public in an open dialogue about it, truly listening to their concerns, and then making a decision based upon best informed or best available science as to what's the right thing. I can't tell you that we're not going to get tied up in litigation, because there are chances that that can happen. I can't tell you that you're not going to get tied up in litigation as a state agency also making a similar state level decision on the component part. I can't guarantee any of those things. I can tell you that we have already removed the marina and its operations and its environmental effects from a current state that it was in. We have designed sediment basins to catch water that's twice that of a normal. We've removed the site itself from a special use permit. You've already taken action on the third party. So, I mean, I think that we have tools in place that say that this site is not going to operate in any form that's going to have that impact until some other decision is made or rendered that allows us to move forward. If there's room for us to make improvements to the agreement, it may be in fallback language in the notion of what happens to those temporary BMPs in the event that we can't get through the NEPA process. Maybe there's some place for us to have some dialogue around that. I can see my attorney itching in his chair right now over me suggesting these things on the fly, but I can't guarantee the outcome of the NEPA process, nor can the state on CEQA or TRPA on their planning process. But But I've also seen that we are taking on much larger landscape-level activities these days, and it's going well. We have an updated TRPA regional plan. We completed a programmatic forest plan that was completely updated just a couple of years ago, and these were once the kinds of decisions that had major opposition to them and had major appeals in litigation, and they're seeing some activity, but not nearly like they had been. And I think that's testament to the good work of all the agencies and the non-governments and the private citizens that have been working here. People are seeing progress, but I can't guarantee the outcome. I will say that we are going to look at a proposed action to restore the marina, i.e. Mm-hmm. restore the barrier beach, restore mm-hmm. the wetlands, but we have to compare that to truly evaluate the impacts, the cost, the trade-offs. We have to evaluate that at a minimum against what it might look like to restore the marina facilities in such a way that they can ensure that water quality issues don't continue and that the design parking is appropriate and all those other things. The truth is, I'm already hearing from stakeholders around the lake and around the west. I'm getting calls from folks with experiences with boat stacking ideas and other facilities that might be dual purpose that keep us from doing some of the activities that have been difficult to manage, like managing the boat ramp and the parking and the dust and all those sorts of things, and minimize still the actual footprint of these kinds of facilities. And so what ideas show up when the public comments on our NEPA decision, I can't forecast. I will say we're going to listen to them. As far as my tenure, I can't guarantee that either. I serve at the will of our regional forester, our chief, and our president. And that's all I'm going to say on that. But I will say this. We have made this a priority project. We're not trying to fund this with special funding that's coming from our regional office or earmarks. This is part of how we are funding this, at least for the Forest Service, is out of our base appropriation. And we can all see that there's a good chance we won't carry the same kind of base appropriation, but mm-hmm. the fact is we're cobbling it together with the funds on the unit because it's that important to us. It's just that important to us. And so what a predecessor behind what my replacement might do if I got moved from anytime soon, I can't forecast that either. But I think this tool is a good one. It gives us at a minimum cause to come back and talk. And if somebody who is behind me or even myself, we change strategies a year or two, I guess I'll be back here in front of you explaining why. And talking about what it is to look forward. And that's the only assurance I can give you around NEPA. And it probably doesn't help you very much. I know there are real concerns, but that's as far as we can go. It would be illegal for me to go any further.
Just three housekeeping sorts of things. Would you be willing, not asking you to commit to the outcome, but would you be willing to talk to your counsel, with your counsel, about the idea of substituting the word agrees for the word intends mm-hmm. where it's found? That was one. The second was, would you be willing to consider with counsel the inclusion of the idea that this is a cease and desist order as well as an agreement? And thirdly, is there some way that you could see that there could be, and maybe this is in here and I'm just not able to divine it, that there would be some minimum outcome in the event that the overall better outcome, hoped for outcome, becomes either unattainable or the attainment of it is really protracted. I think that's, I hope that you can come up with a far better solution than just dotting the I's and crossing the T's on the parking lot and some other things. But in the event that you can't or it takes 30 years to do that, at some point in time, we maybe do need a fallback where we can say, well, at least this small problem, even though it's not a solution to everything, it's not what we hope for, but at least this small solution is going to be in place by such and such a date. Mm-hmm. I'm not asking you to commit to what that would look like,
yep,
or how it would be done, but just whether or not that might be something that you could think of and talk about a bit more in looking at this agreement.
Yeah, I can unequivocally say yes, we'll go back and talk with our folks about all three of those things, particularly if it offers some assurance on the, you know, what's the condition look like should we fail at our planning process, and happy to do that. And you know, I'm not going to commit to what that looks like, but happy to commit to going back and having those conversations. The truth is, you know, there's some tension already in the system over the timing of being able to get the initial proposed action on the street. And so I think all of that, I think we can revisit with the idea that the longer it takes us to get to resolution, the later it means us triggering the actual joint NEPA-CEQA TRPA planning event. So it actually starts to impact that timeline. And so I think we can commit to very quickly going back and having those conversations and whatever that looks like to bring it back to the board. We've been working on this agreement for almost a year, and many of these timelines have been actually, we're actually with some of those things in mind that we would have the benefit of the full year. Even so, I've had an ID team working on this thing, so this is not like it's starting from scratch. So we're pretty far along, but all these things sort of play into all this other component parts. And I'm not trying to apply pressure on the board, I'm just pointing out that the push-pull in the system is already there.
Thank you. Any other questions from any board member anywhere? Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Neil Mortimer.
Good evening. Good evening, Chairman Pumphrey and the Honorable Hot Water Quality Board. My name is Neil Mortimer. I'm the elected leader of the Washoe Tribe of Nevada and California. Some of these issues were brought before us, I want to say, back in 2015 originally. Obviously, I've seen some of the timelines, and they're going back to the 80s and issues with the Water Quality Board and some of the other outstanding issues in the Tahoe Basin that I've going back. And you guys consider it a long history. However, I'm not sure if you're familiar with the history of the tribe and thousands of years of history at the lake in regards to water quality issues, some of what's being discussed at this table, and, you know, in respect to all the organizations and agencies here, you know, seem trivial to us in our eyes. Some of the things that our elders have taught us about the lake and respect for the land and different things at this level, you know, we understand and respect the role the Quality Board has in play to regulate people and their actions on the basin and in the overall lake quality and the quality of life for everybody that lives here in the basin. We also understand the role the Forest Service plays, and the role the tribe has is a different type of role in the fact that we are a sovereign nation and we operate the Meeks Bay Resort Marina. Excuse me, that was somewhat of an act in Congress back in the 1996-97 era under one of our former chairmen. So it's a unique situation, to say the least, in which, as you referred to, you're dealing with a number of different sovereignties. However, one of them, and what we say, you know, when the initial agreement was talked about and we had some of those hard conversations, you made the comment that you were glad you weren't part of some of those initial conversations, and I'm with you on that one. However, those conversations were had, and here we are nonetheless. I think in the spirit of what Mr. Marsley brings forward and some of the staff here at the Water Quality Board, you know, I don't see any issues in regards to what this settlement or what you're wanting to refer to as a cease and desist order. Obviously, as soon as that was brought to the gravity of the situation was brought to the tribe, its leadership, its council, we put a stop to the permit operation altogether. You know, we ended up having to break a long-time business agreement with an associate that we had operated with at the marina when it rose to the level of what we understand that it is now with water quality violations. It was a no-brainer on our part unanimously. Our leadership accepted the fact that this is something that needed to be taken. The step had needed to be taken, even if it meant, you know, losing out on economic opportunities there at the marina and operating that. It was a no-brainer to us. As I referred to, you know, we have years of teaching from our people about, you know, respect for this lake, the opportunity to even come here for our people is a very sacred opportunity. You know, everybody here at the Lake Tahoe wants to be part of the ski resorts, the whole recreation theme. You know, our people have considered this home for a long time, in which, you know, once again, getting back at Meeks was an opportunity for the tribe to even have a footprint back in the Tahoe Basin, in which we don't take that very lightly. After having years, a couple hundred of years of not having that opportunity to be part of this venue, the Meeks Bay Resort and Marina has been a great opportunity for the tribe. It hasn't been done strictly based on money, and if we could show you our books, that you would clearly understand that it has been more of a labor of love and an opportunity for the tribe to be back with our foot in the door in the basin. So part of what Jeff brings forward is something that we support fully. We're all in favor of the restoration. We understand the processes that he has to go through. We understand full well the questions you're asking. Those are valid questions, and at some point, the tribe really doesn't have a dog in that fight. And the simple fact that, you know, we'll fight tooth and nail to the end, you know, hopefully wanting to be, you know, continue to be a concessionaire for the Forest Service at that permit. To be honest with you, the end game that we had proposed back in 96, 97 was hopefully having that land returned and restored back to the Washoe tribe to be put in trust for the tribe over the operation of 20 years, which we're coming up on the end of a 20-year period that we've operated that permit at that resort. However, that kind of hadn't come through. You know, there were commitments made, you know, predating me, and some of those things just didn't happen. So we understand what you folks are dealing with here. We want to say that we have the utmost respect for the board, your responsibility as a board, as well as the responsibility the Forest Service carries in regards to management of federal lands and other topics here. You know, we have some of our staff here. We have our business operations manager, our Meeks Bay, our resort operations manager, our general counsel. All four of us are members of the tribe. We've come up here in good faith in support of the Forest Service, as well as in support of the quality board, understanding full well that you folks have a responsibility of regulatory authority that you understand. And, you know, we're trying to understand that role as well. And one of the comments that was made originally, you know, while we're all in favor of restoration of Tahoe, in which we feel like all existing permanent structures should be removed, all pavement, concrete, everything should be taken out of the base and restored back to what it was, and then we can all walk away and understand that there's long-lasting change that has been made, but we all know that that's not going to happen. So in return, we're here, you know, supporting what can be done. So I'd like to take the opportunity to have any questions from your board you may have for the Washoe Tribe.
Thank you, sir. Any questions, Ms. Cox?
None. Thank you.
Dias?
No, thank you.
Mr. Sandell?
No questions, thank you.
Mr. Jardine?
Would there be any objection to exploring what the Forest Service has talked about, some options? Excuse me. I know you talked about taking items back to your council. Is that correct? And there's no problem with that, correct? That's it.
Dr. Horn.
And for the record, the answer was no. I apologize for the nod. It's been a long day.
I was just curious. So you talked about an act of Congress that was in 96, 97. I'd actually like to look that up and see what it actually says. But that gives the Washoe Tribe the right to have a concession and run the resort and marina. Are there any other rights and authorities that the Washoe Tribe has in the Meeks Bay, Meeks Creek area that other people don't have?
So that, for clarification, it didn't give us the right. It gave us the opportunity, in which there was a lands bill that restored Skunk Harbor, a 24-acre parcel on the east shore of the Tahoe, to the Washoe Tribe to be held in trust for the tribe, in which the Meeks Bay Resort Marina opportunity happened to come at the same time with the first Tahoe Basin Summit, in which our chairman at the time was instrumental in actually starting that. We know we had the president here this last summer in a couple of years, and congressional leadership have taken a lot of credit for that, but that's one of the things the tribe was committed to originally well over that time frame ago. So, no, we didn't get that through an act of Congress, but during that time period, you know, when the presidential President Bill Clinton was out here, during all that time period, part of that ended up working in favor where the tribe was considered to operate that permit. Don't take what I'm saying word for word. Obviously, you can look it up and you can see exactly what it says, but that's part of what I was trying to say. So it's not an act of Congress, but in one way it was for the tribe to have that opportunity through the legislation, through Skunk Harbor. A lot of that happened all at the same time.
Any other rights that the tribe has to traditional grounds or, I mean, I know that this was an area traditionally that was very important in the summertime. So I'm wondering if there are rights that extend from that earlier era.
One of the things that I can kind of touch on, and you know, like I said, this is all information that you could look up. It's written right into the bill, but the ability to gather plants and things out of the meadow kind of came hand in hand with that for the tribe to have that use of it. However, none of it ends up being tribal land, so that was one of the deals that kind of ties into what we're working towards, because the tribe is currently working on a mixed meadow restoration project. So we have a planning grant through our environmental department that we're trying to complete the CEQA process. There was a NEPA process that had been done prior years, so this kind of ties everything together. And on certainty, I understand you guys operate in terms of, you know, the law in regards to certainty, but there is no certainty for any of us, and that's a common fact that we should all understand. So we're operating in good faith based on what we're doing with the Forest Service and the Water Quality Board, and it's just kind of the big picture type event, and I'm sure that doesn't fall on the ears of your attorney or other people, but sometimes we operate outside of those things. In initial discussions with the board and their attorneys, people kind of don't understand the way that we're talking and the way we're relaying this information. However, it is valid, and the points that we bring are very, you know, important that people understand.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, and thank you for coming and sharing this information with us, and thank you for sharing your shoulders to the big problem that we're trying to deal with here. I hope that we're all going to benefit from this over the long haul. Thank you, sir. Is there anyone else who wishes to speak?
Yes, Chairman Pumphrey, I'd just like to add a couple of thoughts for the board's consideration as it relates to the board's authority, because I got the impression that we might have been talking a little bit past each other. We agree with all the words that came out of Elizabeth Barrett's mouth about the board's authority over the Forest Service as it relates to discharges of waste, earth, and materials to Lake Tahoe. We have permitted successfully the Forest Service over the years on construction activities, on timber projects, on vegetation management, on grazing. We've used our authority to stop all sorts of discharges of waste here at Lake Tahoe. And the fact is they have ceased the discharge of waste, earth, and materials at this location. And so even though we have all those authorities and that we could pursue a cease and desist order in the future, I would argue that at this time, we have no evidence to pursue a cease and desist order against the Forest Service, because they have implemented a project, an interim one, that's currently functioning. And so I would like you to consider that in the context of this agreement, because if we don't approve this agreement, there is nothing holding the Forest Service accountable to the public or to this board on pursuing a planning project that goes way beyond a dirt parking lot at Meeks Bay Marina. And we will retain our authority to make sure that that dirt parking lot does not cause a problem in the future. You know, we might come back and issue a cleanup and abatement order if we see the berm is broken down and we call them up and they don't fix it or that sort of thing. But the reality is, this has offered us many more opportunities than we would have ever gotten if we went down the path a year. If a year ago we told the Forest Service they needed to pave the parking lot and install BMPs and they weren't interested and we were pursuing a formal enforcement path, that order you'd see before you today would have been focused on the dirt area, and that would be it, the parking lot. Not the functions and values of the mouth of Meeks Creek, not a lagoonal system, not dealing with channel erosion, things like that. Those things are much more challenging for us to address. And I'd like to just agree with Jeff Marsley and Chairman Mortimer that, you know, we're here before you with a spirit of cooperation. And I think that by approaching this project and this problem as a team, and it doesn't just involve the Washoe Tribe and the Forest Service and Lahontan. We've got a commitment from TRPA, and based on planning documents the Forest Service has in their forest plan, the other partner that we haven't collaborated with yet, but I would suggest that we serve as leaders in the basin to do this, is our fellow partners, Caltrans. Because one of the biggest problems with the watershed and its functions is the Highway 89 bridge, culvert, whatever it is. It could be a much larger bridge or a bottomless arch culvert. There's a need to restore that crossing to provide better fish passage and to create a better connection to the meadow above the highway. And I am committed, and I think our staff is committed, to making sure as part of CEQA and as part of NEPA that we need to include Caltrans, and we got to get them involved soon in this process, because I want to see that as one of the alternatives considered as part of this larger project. That's out of Forest Supervisor Marcellet's control in a big, big way, okay? And it might take twice as long to get the right project built out here. But guess what? Projects don't ever occur unless you start them. They will never happen if you walk away from this agreement. There's a potential that this will never happen. At least with this agreement, there's a commitment that all the right players are in the room. If we let the Forest Service just go back and try to get a project done, there's less commitment from all of us in this effort. So it's something to keep in mind, because there is a potential for something really great here, and I think we have struggled, even as part of the Lake Tahoe restoration TMDL plan, how do we get stream restoration, how do we get meadow connections, floodplain connection, all of these things. We mostly encourage people by getting grant money. We don't have great tools to impose that kind of stuff, the regulatory requirements. We'll certainly wave our stick when we can, and if that's what we have to do to get Caltrans at the table, but it's, you know, we can get Fish and Game support as well, you know, the California Department of Fish and Game, or Fish and Wildlife. So I just think that, yeah, there is a lot of uncertainty, but the only way these things ever happen is by starting them and being willing to take on the bigger challenge of all of that, so.
Thank you. Any questions, Ms. Cox?
No questions.
Mr. Diaz?
No questions.
Mr. Sandell?
No.
Mr. Jardine?
No.
Dr. Horn?
No.
I have no questions. If there's no one else who wishes to speak, declare that the hearing is closed.
I'm sorry, Board Chair. I have a question for the prosecution and U.S. Forest Service.
Sure.
Excuse me. This is Elizabeth Barrett, your counsel. In stipulation number 5 and in stipulation number 7, there is language about the Water Board providing agreement or acceptance of documents prior to the public comment period, which is not permitted. So I was wondering if somebody could come to the pedestal and clarify what was intended by that language. And I am looking at in stipulation number 5, where it says, provided the Water Board and TRP agree with the project. And in stipulation number 7, where it says, provided support from the Water Board and TRPA is available in a timely manner, and the draft EIS is approved by the Water Board and TRPA.
Okay, so on an order, this is Lori Kemper for the record, the stipulation agreement number 5, I believe that we could clarify that, that what we're looking for, what the Forest Service is looking for, is that all the partners in the process of doing scoping, that we agree with the project description is maybe a better word there. In other words, that the Forest Service will prepare a joint notice of preparation pursuant to all these laws describing a proposed project. And so provided that the Water Board and TRP agree with the project. In other words, the Forest Service in that paragraph is committing to not releasing a notice of prep, or under the NEPA rules, I think it's called a notice of intent. They're committing to not releasing that document without approval from TRPA and Lahontan, because the intent is to have it be a joint scoping document. So it's about having agreement in the project description and those initial planning documents. Does that make sense? And maybe a better word would be the project description.
So is it intending collaboration with the Water Board
and TRPA
in drafting? And correct me if I'm wrong, you're not intending that the Water Board approve or certify a document that does not exist yet.
Right, and the document that the document this is referring to is the scoping, that what we would call the scoping notice or the notice of preparation, which can be sometimes for the boards, because they don't see these too often, these can be lengthy documents. They can be a 5-page, 10-page discussion of the potential for the site, the project description. So I think Forest Service Supervisor Marcellet wanted to make sure that we were all on board, that they didn't release a document for public review and comment without having TRPA and Lahontan's review and approval of that. And there, he's hopeful that we'll all be sitting at the table to, and that we talked about that as part of the success criteria. That would get at some of the outcomes in a little more detail. What are the goals and objectives? So the obvious clear goals and objectives about restoring floodplain connectivity and some of those things would be that wordsmithing would occur by all three agencies.
So my suggestion to the board would be to recommend that language either be altered or removed to better clarify that we're not, the water board is not committing to approval of a CEQA project prior to public comment and noticing and the normal CEQA process.
So we can clarify that it's about the scoping document itself, not a decision by the board. It's a project description.
Thank you. There's...
And then I think the other one maybe...
Excuse me.
Okay, sorry. Number 7, intends to prepare for provided support from the water boards available in a timely manner. So I think stipulation 7 is a deadline, July 1st, 2018, that says that the Forest Service intends to get a draft environmental document out for public comment. And it says provided support from the water board and TRPA is available in a timely manner. And I would say we have experienced that challenge in the past of all of us trying to make resources available to get a joint environmental document out on the ground. That occurred with the South Shore project, and it was challenging. It took a lot of time. I think the Forest Service is just saying, again, they're committed to not releasing a draft document without having concurrence from TRPA or Lahontan before that document hits the street. And I think that I just want to emphasize that the last stipulation or the number 12 where it says based on the information in the annual report the Forest Service may request or the Water Board may consider amending this agreement to alter, add, or clarify implementation due dates. I know we could get into more details on that, but I think that is where we are recognizing that we don't have certainty in terms of the future or reality, and we know that reality often does throw us some hurdles that takes longer. And again, we think that's reasonable because these are challenging projects, and we would come back to the board with dates changes if, for whatever reason, we all needed more time to get through this.
Thank you. Any other question?
Yes, I have a question. This is Doug Smith. I'm supervising geologist on the Water Board's advisory team for this matter. I have a question, and I think this is for you, Ms. Poole. Stipulation 3 states that the U.S. Forest Service shall inspect the BMPs at a minimum twice a year. And then the advisory team sent a question on that. We got a response. And then I believe in your presentation, and please correct me if I'm wrong, I thought that I heard you mention that the Washoe Tribe is there daily. They're making daily inspections. I didn't remember who it was.
Oh, I was making that story.
And so my question is there a written agreement between the Forest Service and the Washoe Tribe explaining what those steps are, when they're supposed to report, who does the fixes, things like that? Or is it just, that's just what they're doing?
So I wanted to clarify for the record that I said the Washoe Tribe is on site daily during the summer when the resort is operating, and they're wandering around the site. I mean, they're managing that site. I would ask the Forest Service to answer the question about whether there's anything in the special use permit related to that. But I think that from our experience over the last couple of years out there, the Washoe Tribe, the operators of the resort, are in close communication with the Forest Service on issues as they arise, whatever they are, vandalism or, damage of structures or repair or maintenance of the facilities. So Jeff could probably speak to that a little more in greater detail.
Yeah, real quickly, when we removed the marina from the permit, we've accepted full responsibility for the implementation of the BMPs temporarily and the annual inspection requirements. So that's on us. Now, we have great partners who are here working alongside of us and have no interest, like we have no interest, in having issues crop up that we haven't addressed. And so We'll do that in partnership, but we don't have a stipulation within the special use permit because we've actually removed the marina from the boundary of the permit and its whole operation. So, but that's not, that's a minimum standard anyways. All the BMP requirements that are in our special use permit, that that's a minimum standard, and we're operating at a higher level than that anyways. So I'm not sure that I answered your question, but for me, the inspections, that's on us, and the maintenance is on us. We're going to take care of that. If no one else takes care of it, we'll take care of it. And so that's the intent, was to clarify, because I think part of the complication was we had a third party. They were under a sublessor agreement to a permittee who was under essentially a permit to the landlord, Forest Service. And we've clarified all that, so we know who's responsible now. We're going to make sure the inspections are complete on its required cycle. The maintenance activities are going to be required on its cycle. But the truth is, the public is going to be out there and about. It's not closed to public entry, so they may be riding bicycles over berms and that sort of thing. And we'll make sure that those facilities have been inspected and improved and updated before we have storm events. It's pretty straightforward, I think.
Dr. Horn.
So would it be agreeable to you to add another stipulation to this order, which would say something like, by August 1st, 2017, the U.S. Forest Service agrees to submit an inspection and monitoring program for water port approval that describes the actions the U.S. Forest Service will take to ensure all temporary BMPs remain in place and fully functional until permanent BMPs are installed?
So is that something different than the twice a year commitment that we've already made?
Yes.
I'm going to let you ask that question because it's more appropriate for you.
Well, I guess I just have a question, Amy. What do you intend to see? I think we had quite a few discussions with the Forest Service about the number of inspections, and they asked that we do joint inspections, and frankly, we don't have those kind of resources to be out there even twice a year, let alone once a year, because we have other sites that are active industrial. You know, keep in mind, marinas are considered industrial operations. We've got plenty of them to inspect, and this is now basically a dormant, abandoned site. We have checklists that are in our marina permit and checklists that we've provided the Forest Service to do inspections of timber projects. There's lots of tools in their own toolbox. If you're looking for a checklist, I'm sure we could come up with one, but what do you expect to see August 1st, 2017, other than their commitment to inspect the site? We have the plans in this agreement that show what the things they're looking at to see whether they function or not.
So I think you're hearing from some board members discomfort with this agreement in that it lacks sufficient assurances to us. And this issue of monitoring reporting, you know, we're accustomed to getting orders in front of us that include very detailed monitoring and reporting requirements. And this doesn't have any. This has very vague at a minimum. I mean, if a problem is found, there's no suggestion in here about how soon a problem will be corrected. I mean, it just lacks details that would give me assurance that the site will be maintained in a manner that prevents pollution to Lake Tahoe for this very extensive period. I mean, I want to find a way to say, yes, we can do this for this, because I agree this larger project is a great idea, and I'm fully supportive of it. But it's just a very long time, and I think I need more assurance that the site will be protected for this long duration of time. Mm-hmm. And so, okay. I mean.
So maybe more details on what's in the report, and even when they complete those inspections, that they notify us, you know, like within 5 days if they find a problem, and, you know, give us a corrective action plan or something within that same period, or, you know, that type of thing.
Something like that. I mean, yeah. You know, I mean, the way it's written right now, if a problem was found, I know that everyone's intentions are in the right place, but if a corrective action wasn't taken for a year and a half, I don't see any ability of the board to require that.
The stipulated number four says, this is when the annual report's due, right? So every November 15th, they submit a report of the two inspections.
All right, maybe a year and a half was an exaggeration.
I want you to keep in mind that the Forest Service is the water quality management agency for their lands, which is no different than a phase one municipal stormwater permittee, and we only require annual reports for all of the roads in the basin on Caltrans, El Dorado County, Placer County, and City of South Lake Tahoe. All of those miles and miles of roads and gazillion, you know, 100 stormwater pipes discharging to Lake Tahoe, for that enormity of stormwater runoff entering Lake Tahoe every time it rains, we get an annual report, one report per year. And we expect those entities to maintain their facilities year-round, all the time, and notify us of any problems. It's a little onerous, in my opinion, to request a lot more than that out of a facility that's been closed, that is now just an abandoned spot. I do agree with you, and I have the same concerns about the fact that a summer can happen, and a lot of use happens at that site. It is a very popular place in the summer. And kids can be kids. And there's all sorts of things that could undermine those berms. But I do think the commitment from the Washoe and the Forest Service is that if there's damage observed like that, it can be corrected relatively easy. We don't need a corrective action plan to repair a notch in a berm. We just need a sandbag or, you know what I mean? It doesn't take a lot, maybe a backhoe at the most, but a lot of it's going to be done by hand crews. We can certainly maybe tighten the language about the commitment they give us on corrective action, but it doesn't seem to warrant the type of monitoring that we've asked of industrial operations at the lake or Caltrans or the counties for miles and miles of roads. We used to have permits on all the large parking lots, and once they addressed their stormwater, we rescinded those permits. So the South Y Shopping Center, they don't do any monitoring. They have acres and acres of pavement with greasy, dirty runoff. You know, I mean, I want to make sure this site doesn't unravel either, but I wanted to bring this up, Chairman Pumphrey, also because on the request you asked about coming up with some language about a minimum outcome if the larger project isn't built. You know, things like a little more abandonment, but what's there now could in fact be a 10 or 20 year, it could last that long with a little repair and maintenance. It's more than temporary. It is more like what we've asked sites. When we issued permits on a lot of commercial sites in the past, we had a lot of vehicle storage yards we wrote permits on back in the 80s, and a lot of those people decided to just abandon their operation and fence it and, you know, till the soil and throw down chips, and that was it, and we walked away from it. This same site with a little bit more maybe vehicle access control to make sure nobody is driving in that area could remain pretty stable for a couple of decades. So I just want to, because I think we might be able to add some language to clarify some of that, but that could be this interim minimum outcome, even if this thing takes 20 years, only because we don't want to spend a lot of money putting in pavement or permanent concrete infiltration galleries or whatever if we're still working on really restoring the natural functions of the site. The less we do out there in some ways, the better, as long as we're able to keep the water on the site and not have it go to the lake.
Are there any other questions with respect to the testimony that's been given in the hearing? Mr. Sandell?
Lori, would you tell us what the schedule needs to be, if there needs to be a schedule for moving ahead with this? Like, is it possible that we could have, these are relatively small changes, that we could have agreement on language and bring it to the board at our next meeting?
Yes.
The next meeting is in July, and if you want this to go out for 30 days for public comment, if the attorneys require that, we would be hard-pressed to have this on the street early June, I mean, like the first week of June, which is what it would require. That's going to be tough because I'm not going to commit for Forest Service and their attorneys, but that's going to be a little bit tight to bring it back in July. I would offer, or I would suggest possibly that the board could delegate authority to the executive officer to sign this, that if we make these agreements, kind of that all the things you guys have asked for, and that's why I'm asking for a little more clarity on some of this, because if we can address all these concerns and you trust that Patty will make sure these things are addressed and Elizabeth, then we wouldn't be confined by that.
I would be okay with that.
This is Elizabeth Barrett, your counsel. Since this is a cease and desist order, it could not be delegated to the executive officer and require a vote by the board.
Even though it's a settlement agreement? Acceptance of a settlement agreement?
It's a stipulated agreement and stipulated order using our authority under the cease and desist sections of the water code. So it would have to go before the board for a vote.
Okay. So
I'm wondering if there's a shortcut. We have kindly been provided with an underlined strikeout version that
Dr. Horn, I wonder if we could get to a point where we could close the hearing in order to then enable the board to discuss any action that it might want to take.
And then before you do that, Chairman Pumphrey, because it's a stipulated agreement and you need to, you know, if you guys come, if you want to offer some additional suggested language, you could request the parties to consider that outside the, you know, after the hearing's closed, is that appropriate?
I believe it is. One of the options that the board would have would be to send the agreement back to the parties asking with specific requests to take a look at, which I think is what we've been talking about for the last 35 minutes. But I think that's a more expeditious way to approach this than discussing the board action as part of the actual hearing and right. when that's really going to be more of a decision.
And if it doesn't require a 30-day notice, and it may not for a cease and desist order, then we may be able to make July by, you know, getting something out more like towards late June. So.
Well, first we need to know what the board wants to do before we have to figure out how to do it.
Okay.
So if there are no other questions, would declare the hearing closed. I'm wondering if people would like to take a 10-minute break before we have board discussion. So if that's all right with everyone, why don't we do that? We're back here at what the clock will tell us is 8:10, the clock on the wall. Oh, were it to be true. But it will actually be 9:10 or so. So thank you.
The clock has a mind of its own.
I was just trying to respond to your question.
No, there's just the hearing is a hearing about the testimony.
No, I understand your point, but I was just, I mean, I felt like I just kind of cut me off. I was just trying to respond. Oh my God.
So many better things I can do.
I couldn't figure out how to do it.
You can't control it.
Oh, yeah.
Excuse to drive up here.
Then I guess I stay.
You're going to stay.
How are things going up your neck of the woods?
Well, the snow is melting quickly, which is really a great thing. Our plants, the garden wall is very confused. I mean, before crocus, you know, they couldn't get out and run to the snow until a week ago in some cases. They kind of went, huh? Is it the time to get up?
I know. We just start. I have the somewhere at home, someone gave me a
star. We have amazing debris.
Hopefully they never expire.
Crashed out of the trees. Short branches.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, thousands of them. Much more than a normal winter. Lots of small clumps, you know, small clump like this much. Tiny growing, being bashed out of the trees. And large branches, you know, like 8-foot branch with a 6-inch diameter root. Kind of, you know,
yep, we're going through that now. I have never seen so many pine cones in my life.
Really awesome.
Yeah. It's been interesting at our board.
They're
somewhat divided.
Oh, really? On what?
Just about everything. We're moving forward one day at a time.
I
think we're all on the same page financially.
How did your corporate yard weather the winter?
Oh, wonderful. Oh, man.
I know you have to stand by.
Makes you worry a little bit when she's writing legislation about foreign policy.
Yeah, that whole
thing. Held up and everything?
Everything held up.
So you were able to stay operational through all the whole storm?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's good. I mean, that's excellent.
We were concerned with Liberty Energy. The new entity.
Yeah,
they got all their power from Nevada.
Yeah.
And so we're at the low end of the totem pole, but actually we weren't that bad. As a matter of fact, Liberty Energy is putting a new solar site up by Turtle Rock Park.
Oh, yeah.
We'll be able to power our end of the county. I haven't seen the final plans yet, but it's going to be quite a number of acres. Huge.
You're going to power
We are dependent on water supply, our water treatment plants, and water wells.
I did a solar panel of water treatment plant on Earth, more than 10 years ago. So it was 520,000 watts, about a little over half a megawatt, to power the entire planet. And it was a net meter project. So you know, the inverters were on the grid, and they drove the power bill backwards and brought the power bill down to around $30,000 a year from around $300,000 a year.
Yeah, we were facing that issue, net metering. Turns out Liberty Energy didn't want to get allow us into the process.
Well, net metering is, you know, when we did it, it was pretty new, and it was popular with the utilities weren't against it. They were forced anyway by the regulations to accept it. Now there's been a lot more pushback because solar's been getting much more common. The utilities say, this is too good a deal for you guys, you know, because in essence you're driving a meter backwards, so you get a kilowatt for every kilowatt you, and you'd rather that you were being rewarded at a wholesale rate.
We've talked about that a little bit with the Washoe Tribe. Seeing Neil Mortimer here.
Amazing. Really impressive guy.
I actually went to elementary school with his mom.
Oh, no kidding.
In Woodford. I didn't really get to know him very well. I've been going through a number of tribal council meetings just to make sure the bees to help my county. And he's pretty impressive.
No, he seems to be on top of whatever he needs to be on top of.
Oh boy, you just have to be quick. Mike.
You have to pay attention.
Oh my.
It usually doesn't happen, but...
It's better, yeah, but it's better when it's starting to come up, yeah. My letter would not restart, so I'll keep it on. Does anyone know what Keith did to his hand?
Is that the excuse he's going to use for not wearing a tie?
What'd you do to your hand?
Usually, he wears the nice. I mean,
yeah, we rely on him to be our style leader.
So,
as appalled as I am to consider this, I guess that means you're not looking to me for that.
Uh-oh, it says 11, I better do this.
Really disillusioned.
I'm not appalled.
I thought I was doing a sterling job.
And you are.
I know I am not. Okay, I think that we're... Oops. I think that we forgot to turn on our microphone here. I think that the hearing being closed, it's time for the board to consider what action, if any, it wishes to take with respect to this agenda item. I would first ask whether or not there are any, is or are, any recommendation from the advisory team. And I'd ask that in answering that question that you be mindful of the likelihood that the board is going to send this document back and ask the parties to do some work on some specific things. But I'll get to that later, and the board, of course, will get to it, regardless of what my ideas are. So, Mr. Smith?
Thank you, Board Chair. I'm Doug Smith, supervising geologist on the Water Board's advisory team for this matter. To answer your question, I've reviewed the temporary BMP plans, reviewed all the information submitted, including the photographs of the BMPs, and it's in my opinion that the temporary BMPs have held up for the winter, that they were adequate. The photographs document that. However, temporary BMPs are usually designed to be just that, temporary. And there's For example, there's core logs in there, which don't hold up to any trampling or traffic over time. And there's and temporary BMPs also don't really require rigorous inspection and monitoring of the vegetation to come back because they are just temporary. They're going to be replaced with permanent BMPs. Now, in my opinion, permanent BMPs on this site can be very simple, or they can be very complex. And if one were to wait until a large project, such as the one that's being envisioned, would come down, the permanent BMPs may be very different than the temporary ones that we see today. But these temporary BMPs could be made, I could say, more longer lasting. And typically, the difference between temporary BMPs and permanent BMPs is that there's written plans in permanent BMPs to cover all the components for the wind and the water erosion, the vegetation, and the watering, inspections. There's an adaptive management process built in. Narratives are usually accompanied with permanent BMP plans. And the temporary BMPs out there today, in a lot of cases, could look just like permanent BMPs. The rock bollards, some of the swales, the drainage basins, those are all features that permanent BMPs and other sites have. And so the piece that I think is missing is a plan on how those are installed, how they're maintained over time, what the adaptive management process is for it, and areas that need vegetation, how that vegetation is ensured to be successful. And it's things that could be very simple. Another thing that was missing, I looked at the drainage plans, the as-builts, and typically for drainage plans, you see topographic contours. In this case, it would be very fine, maybe at the half-foot contour line, because it's a very flat site. You'd have some more cross sections, some more details on the construction of some of these BMPs. And so some of those things are missing. Those can be easily addressed. So I think that a little bit more work on this, on the temporary BMPs to make them longer lasting, because there is no guarantee for this larger project to go in place. I mean, I've worked and lived in the Tahoe Basin almost 30 years, and I've seen so many projects lay vacant for years upon years. You probably all remember those casino hotels up on Crystal Bay for decades. Those were temporary BMPs, and if you noticed, every time you drove by, they're all falling down, all the BMPs. Well, fortunately, that was all taken care of. It's on the Nevada side anyway, so we don't care about that here. But things happen to projects, and so a little bit more work could be done, I think, on the upfront to ensure that these temporary BMPs truly last for 8+ years. Because this could go on, and I agree with the testimony that there is no guarantee on this process. It could be derailed, as Board Member Horn pointed out, as other great projects. And I think the intention of this overall project, great. But the main issue that I see that the BMPs are addressing is the actual violation that was in the notice of violation, the discharge of sediment.
Are there any questions for the advisory team, Ms. Cox?
No, I think the additions that Doug mentioned are quite reasonable.
Mr. Diaz.
I share Doug's concerns about the BMPs myself. I would like to see better definition, and I'd like to see them explained in a manner that would give them more longevity.
Mr. Sandell?
If the temporary BMPs, I guess we're talking about these logs and not so much the berms, if those are examined and kept up every half year, would that be adequate? Or considering that they're going to fail, you know, more frequently than that?
Well, being a resident of Tahoe for the last 30 years, things happen on faster, in my opinion, faster than six-month intervals. Windstorms blow in, clog up BMPs with pine needles and other debris, drainage basins. I've seen bears come in and knock down fences, and that can happen any time of the year. There's a lot of people love to recreate in this area. The water's going to be very high. There's a lot of people, most likely, I mean, I'm speculating here, who are going to want to use the lake and access the lake. There's probably going to be some use through here. I don't know what the assurances are to keep the foot traffic from trampling BMPs. It's not anywhere in there. The only thing is in the settlement agreement that says the U.S. Forest Service will inspect twice a year. That's all that I had. And usually when people, people submitting plans for permanent BMPs, because these are going to be, you know, 8+ years, they'll put in, here's our inspection program, here's our maintenance program, here's what we're going to do if we see problems, things like that. And it can be very simple, just a narrative on that.
Mr. Jardine.
No questions.
Dr. Horn.
I just have a clarifying question for Mr. Smith. So if we added language about having plans, adaptive management, maintenance, schedule, inspections, some way of maintaining vegetative success, is that sufficient, or are you proposing that we actually change these interim BMPs to permanent BMPs, understanding that these would be rather simple permanent BMPs?
I'm not suggesting that the description of the BMPs are changed to permanent BMPs. And the reason is that there's, from what I understand of the project, there's a lot of surfaces out there. There's concrete pads and other walkways that are pretty much just left in place right now from the previous use. And the temporary BMPs are put around those to capture the runoff. So a permanent BMP could look very different because the overall project may want to pull out some of those pads, some of those concrete pads, and then that may be a location for a basin or something. Just more detail, more information is what I was looking for on the temporary BMPs to ensure their longevity. Okay. What you call them, permanent, temporary, I think in the settlement agreement it's an appropriate term. Interim BMPs is probably the better term to use.
Anything else?
No, I mean, I'm hearing that if it talks...
Microphone.
Sorry. If it speaks to... if there's details about plans, adaptive management, vegetation maintenance, management, inspection schedules, that would allay your concern?
Yes, I believe so.
Thank you.
I have no questions of Mr. Smith. Um, There are probably 5 or 6 different ways that we could go forward at this point. According to the cheat sheet that was prepared for me, the board has at least 4 options: to accept with modifications, reject, or reject and direct staff to pursue a different approach. But what I'd like to do this instant is to narrow that field a little bit and see if we can focus in on where we would like to go with this. So I'm going to ask if there is anyone who wishes to make a motion to approve the proposed settlement agreement as presented to the board as part of the agenda package. Not hearing any such motion, I would like to ask if there's anyone who would move to reject out of hand the proposed settlement agreement. Not hearing any motion, I would ask if there's anyone who would be willing to make a motion to approve the proposed settlement agreement with modifications which they could articulate at this point in time. The last option is to, it says to reject and direct staff. I'm going to take issue with that wording. Because to the extent that it implies even a tiny, tiny, tiny bit that the board is not receptive to the concept that has been brought forward through this process and through this proposed settlement agreement, I think that would be a mischaracterization of at least what I have heard. My sense, and please jump in and correct me and tell me to be quiet, is that we would like to send this back to the parties if they would accept the task with a sort of a laundry list of things that we are concerned about. And I think we have heard most of those things tonight, but I'd like us to try to make a sort of a summary of that. And then see if the parties are able to come back and bring us another proposed settlement agreement that addresses those issues. Is there anyone who thinks that does not capture the sentiment of the conversation that we've had this evening? And please, if you don't, say so.
Chair, this is Kimberly in Victorville. Is there any time sensitivity? I heard you had asked that earlier, but I did not clearly hear the response.
I'm going to ask staff to answer that.
Hi, Member Cox. This is Lori Kemper. I have heard from Supervisor Marcellet that he is concerned that the deadlines that are in this agreement will likely be adjusted. We'd have to change the timing because he does not want to go out. He doesn't want to start scoping a project July 1 this summer if the board's not approving, has not approved this agreement. So you can be aware of that fact, and that could potentially have other impacts on all the remaining deadlines because of the phase one assessment. If the staff is not moving forward scoping a project, I mean, you know, we have a limited field season in the summer and things like that, so the November date